As I told my boys this week, it is still Easter, and they're like, what? Like, yeah, Easter is a season. So it's good to continue to sing about Jesus' resurrection and new life in him. Okay, so I am getting ready to put some symbols up on the screen, and you will recognize them almost immediately. Here we go. Okay, truth time. Raise your hand if the mere sight of one of these symbols raised your anxiety just even a little bit, okay? Why? Because they mean we're going to have to wait for something. Something is loading or downloading, and it's taking a little bit of time. And that means we're going to have to wait, and let's be honest, waiting is really hard for us. And yet so much of life is waiting, and so much of the life of faith calls us to wait for God. We're in the midst of a sermon series right now called Courage, looking at courage as the God-empowered strength to do what is right and good, even when it's hard. We've said that courage is what's required to live out all of the marks of the Christian life. It's courage that's required to help us live out the virtues of Jesus. And we typically think of courage as stepping forward and stepping out to act or to do or say something in spite of our fears or apprehensions. So why in the world did I begin this message by showing you these symbols and naming our trouble with waiting? Because waiting is not for the faint of heart. What if sometimes it takes just as much, if not more, courage to wait as it does to act? Let us pray. God, open our hearts and minds to your word for us this day. We pray that it would take root there, that it would grow us, transform us, that we might live for you and might bear fruit for your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 27. I invite you to listen for God's word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, this I seek, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So just 2 weeks ago, our family was traveling and vacationing in South Florida, and we decided, because I love ice cream so much, to go to a South Florida institution called Jackson's Ice Cream Parlor. So we met my brother-in-law's family there, four adults, five kids, and there was a line coming out the door, stretching outside. We were going to have to wait for ice cream. We waited and we waited and we waited. It was hard. There was a lot of, how much longer do you think it's going to be? And the kids had to reassure us. got it. Just a second. Finally, we got seated after about 30 minutes. We sat down at the table, and the waitress said, "Now, I just want to be up front with you. You're looking at about 45 minutes from the time you ordered to when we bring you your ice cream." And I think our eyes all got really big, but we waited. It was hard. So we played I Spy. We ate popcorn. We played Mad Libs with this app on a phone, and we laughed. We could have walked out. Waiting is not for the faint of heart. It takes courage to wait. And the truth is, we don't just wait to be seated for ice cream. We don't just wait for a movie to download, or for a computer to update, or at the line at Disney, or for the light to turn green. We also wait in the waiting room for the doctor. We wait at the bedside of someone in hospice care. We wait for the upcoming surgery. We wait for someone important to us to call us back or to email us. We wait for the baby to come. We wait to hear back from a new job opportunity. We wait to hear back from the college admissions office. We wait for the test results. We wait for that right person. We wait for a loved one to return. We wait to experience healing and recovery. We wait for a broken situation to be mended. We wait for God's direction and guidance. We wait for God's answer to our prayer. So much of life is waiting. And it can be agonizing, it can be painful, it can be frustrating, it can be confusing, it can be exciting all at once. It takes courage to wait. Especially in a world and an economy, a culture, society that is built on control, on certainty, on action, speed, accessibility, answers, productivity. I mean, everything in our world is designed or attempts to eliminate waiting, right? By giving us answers at the click of a button, same day shipping, instant download, see results instantly, starts working in as little as 5 minutes. Skip the line by paying a small fee. Instant gratification. Plus, we are wired. We're already predisposed as broken, finite, imperfect human beings to struggle with waiting because we like answers. We like control. We like results. We like certainty. In the process of our impatience, hurry, and inability to wait, we lose sight of the sacred. And our lives become oriented to the mindset that we run on our time. Waiting is hard. Waiting is countercultural. Waiting takes courage. Wait for the Lord, David writes. Wait for the Lord. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. David knew all about waiting. In a time in Israel's history when it was clear that God was done with King Saul of Israel, God told the prophet Samuel to anoint a new king. And much to everyone's surprise, Samuel anoints a young shepherd boy from the hills named David. But David would not become king right then. He had to wait decades. And in that time, besides defeating Goliath, David worked in the court of King Saul, the one he would eventually replace, until Saul became so jealous of David, so fearful of David, that he wanted to kill him, and David was forced to flee, run for his life, and hide. So not only is David waiting to be king, David is also waiting in hiding for God's deliverance. That's the context for the psalm that we read. Now, David starts off pretty confident and hopeful. God is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Even though an army camps against me, I will not be afraid. And then just a few phrases later, the fear and the anxiety that starts to creep in when we're waiting comes through. Lord, listen to me. Answer me. Don't hide your face from me. Don't leave me all alone. David, like us, when we're forced to wait, wonders, God, are you there? Are you doing something? How long? When will I know? When will it happen? When can I take the next steps? When can I experience the change? When is the good or the better thing coming? And that moment, that is the tipping point when we most need the courage to wait. This is when fear and anxiety are most likely to take root in the soil of our waiting. This is when we're going to be most tempted to seize control, most tempted to blaze ahead, to ignore God, to go it alone, to fix it ourselves, to tap into our own strength and wisdom apart from God. Or the other extreme, when we're most likely to slip into despondency, despair, and that kind of hopeless suspended animation. Wait for the Lord. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. It's almost like David is saying, as we wait for God, we develop the courage to wait for God, which helps us to wait for God. The word in Hebrew is kavat. The word for wait is kavat, and it develops from a word that means tension or tight. The Hebrew word for courage is chazak, which means grow firm and strong. That sounds about right. Waiting is so full of tension. And yet there's something about living in the tension of waiting that helps to form us as God's people, that helps to strengthen our faith muscles. It's wait training. Took a while. Got it. That makes sense because our actual muscles grow as they are stretched and then heal. Maybe God uses the time of our waiting to grow our trust muscles. Maybe who we are becoming while we wait is just as important as what we're waiting for. Maybe who we are becoming while we wait is just as important as what we're waiting for. Maybe the meaning is in the waiting. David was waiting to be king. David was waiting for deliverance in hiding and in the waiting. David comes face to face with his own limitations, his own fears, and becomes the kind of man after God's heart who would seek God's wisdom and God's strength rather than his own. Because the times that we're forced to find the courage to wait are precisely hard because they are also the times when we come face to face with our own desire for control, for certainty, for results on our timeline. They're the times we come face to face with our finiteness and our human limitations and therefore face to face with God. I have to share with you about the irony that was this week for me. In a week when I knew I was going to be preaching about waiting, I was forced to wait for God's inspiration. What I was going to say, the scripture I was going to use, did not come right away. And then it changed, and then I didn't know. Like, I'm supposed to be inspired and do my exegesis on Tuesday, and then write the message on Wednesday, and nothing was clicking. And it freaks me out when that happens. It's hard to wait. It's hard to come to grips with God's timeline and God's wisdom being above my own. Because I'm a human being and a creature of control and results. And what I discovered this week was that what happened to me and in me in the midst of that waiting was just as important as the resulting sermon that I'm preaching right now. When I gave in to the wait, it was like the waiting helped me see things. It exposed my rough edges. It laid bare my heart and what I actually was believing or caring about. It opened me up to more of God's presence and grace, the courage to wait, fashion me even just a little bit more into who God wants me to be. It reminded me of my dependence upon God. It reoriented my heart to the patient character of God, who is infinitely patient with me and who waits with love. It forced me to pay more attention to God than what I wanted from God. So maybe we were being more theological than we knew, playing I Spy while waiting for ice cream at Jackson's. Maybe that's precisely how we find the courage to wait. We play I Spy with God. Look at how David does it in the psalm. I seek to dwell in the Lord's house, see God's beauty and adore his temple. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face do I seek. In other words, David is committed to spying, to seeing, to seeking God in the waiting. He's looking toward God's deliverance, but he's also got his eyes fixed on the God who is with him. He's committed to worshiping in the wait. And so waiting is not passive, and waiting is not done in isolation. David is committed to seeing what God is up to in the meantime. I spy God in his temple, and I'm thankful for that. I spy God as my light and my salvation. David is committed to the things that will help him experience God in the waiting, because that's exactly where God is. God is with us in the waiting. Shouldn't that mean something? I think about the times that I've visited someone in the hospital and the heaviness and the holiness of waiting rooms there in the hospital. And just thinking about all the things that people have waited for in those spaces. I can remember a time when I visited someone at the VA. Except I didn't get to visit him because he was in ICU and there were doctors and nurses all around as he was fighting for his life. Instead, I visited with his family in the waiting room. And my ministry that day was simply to sit with them in the waiting room so that they knew that they were not waiting alone. So that hopefully I might be able to sit there in that space and help them be able to say, I spy God in this place. God is here with us, even though this waiting is hard, and even though what comes on the other side of this waiting might also be hard. Friends, God sits with us in all of life's waiting rooms. God does not make us wait alone. We just have to have eyes of faith to see. We have to seek to see God there with us. God is present in the wait. God is somehow able to be working on the thing we're waiting for while also being with us in the often aching meantime. And instead of despairing, instead of seizing control, what if we played I Spy instead? I spy God doing this. I spy God saying that. What if we sought out God's presence like David, putting ourselves in places where we experience God's love and grace, worship and prayer and reading scripture and serving others and walking outside or just being still and quiet? What if we tried to spy, to look inside us or around us and ask, what is God up to and how can I be close to God while I'm waiting? How can I handle with care and intention this time that I have right now in this waiting room of life? What does God want me to learn? Who am I becoming while I wait? Can I help someone else? Can I grow in my faith? Can I learn what it is to be content with God's presence and not just results? Can God with me right now in this waiting room be enough? When we play I spy with God, our eyes become fixed, focused on more than just what we're waiting for, but also on who we're waiting with. And that's where we're at our most courageous. Not when we're full speed ahead, charging forward, impatiently taking control. No, we're at our most courageous when we are fully aware of the love and presence of the God who made us, who saves us, and who cares for us. It's so hard to wait, friends. Waiting is part and parcel of being human, so it's no surprise that it's woven throughout the biblical narrative. Just go to an online Bible and type in the word wait and see how many times it appears in Scripture. It's right up there with do not be afraid. Joseph waited. Abraham and Sarah waited. Moses waited. David waited. Ruth waited. Simeon and Anna waited. Jesus waited. The disciples waited. So if you're waiting, you are in good company. Some of you might be waiting right now. Some of you may have been waiting for a really long time. Most of us will be faced with a situation, a choice this week where we have to summon the courage to wait. It takes courage to wait, knowing that what you're waiting for might not come to pass or come to pass in the way you want. It takes courage to keep our hearts, our identity tethered to Jesus, to place our hope in Him, His faithfulness and goodness, rather than specific outcome. It takes courage to be attentive, watchful, ready, without losing patience, taking shortcuts, or losing hope and giving up. As we choose to wait, courageously may we play I Spy with God. May we recognize that who we are becoming with God in the waiting room with us is just as important, if not more important, than what we're waiting for. Because it's precisely when there is nothing we can do but wait that we can finally see through the haze of our illusions of control to the grace and the mercy and the power of God. Wait for the Lord. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.